Going to read quite a bit, I guess, over the night. We'll try to preach as fast as we can. We've got some scripture we want to look at. But I want to preach having a thought. It seems like that I preached this maybe not too long ago. If I did, you all can tell me if I did or not. I've slept since then, but and I argued with the Lord, and I tried to get away from this and could not do it. We're going to look in Joshua 7 and Joshua 9, then we'll be over in 1 Chronicles tonight also. But in Joshua chapter 7, I ask you to stand to your feet tonight. Good to be saved, ain't it? Amen. Thank God that He saves old sinners. Amen. Was I so wrong that I had to be redeemed? Yes, you were, and so was I. Amen. And so we needed a Redeemer, and that come in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God for Him tonight. Joshua chapter 7 tonight, look in verse 1, very familiar scripture. The Bible says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Avon, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim. And smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening tide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us unto the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we have been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I have commanded them. For they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you and that Lord for the singing. We thank you for the choir singing and the special singing. Sure glad you still save old sinners. Lord, make a new creature out of us all tonight because of salvation. And I thank you for that. Thank you for Jesus who loved us enough to come and die in our place so that we don't have to die and go to hell. And Lord, we ask tonight if there's somebody in this house that's lost that they'd move and God come and trust you to be their Savior tonight. But Lord, we pray that you'd help us during the preaching hour. I pray that you'd strengthen us and touch us and anoint us afresh tonight. Let us be very sensitive in that to the Holy Spirit. And I pray as you move among your people that folk would be not only attentive with their ears, but with their hearts tonight. And that to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Help somebody that needs some help. Give direction and comfort tonight. And we'll tell you again that we love you and thank you. Help us now for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we come to the book of Joshua, you have to understand what's taking place from with the children of Israel. They have left Egypt. They've been down there for 430 years, and 400 years was in bondage. God delivered them. They refused to go into the promised land, and so for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness, and Moses guided them for 40 years, and because of Moses' mess up and his sin that he could, transgression that he committed, an act of smacking that rock when God said speak to it because he was mad at Israel. He did not get to go into the promised land. But Joshua takes them in to the promised land and gets them headed, and that in the Canaan. And as they cross in, they've crossed over Jordan. They've seen a miraculous work with God parting the Jordan River and them crossing on dry land. They have marched around Jericho once a day for 7 days, and then on the seventh day, they marched around it 7 times. And God brought the walls down and said, when you go in, you utterly destroy everything, kill it, and everything you keep, you bring into the house of God, into His treasure house. But Achan has kept something back. What was it? Gold and silver in a Babylonian garment. And we know that he took it and he hid it. You can read the rest of Joshua chapter 7. We know that God knew that before all this started, because in verse 1 it said, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. Now, I want you to know, I find something very funny about this passage of Scripture is that it all pertained and that to Israel. Notice Israel was the one that was going to have to bear the brunt of this because of somebody else's sin. Can I tell you, sometimes that's how it works in your home. Sometimes that's how it works in a church. It's because sin is allowed to go on, or it is going on. It not only affects the person that is doing it, but it affects the people that they're around. Sin does that tonight. Amen. It not only affects you, but it affects folk that you're around tonight. Help me out now. But listen, and so what's happening right here, it's Joshua and those children of Israel, they're getting started, and that to go fight and conquer the Canaanite land over there. And so he said right here, he sent some men in verse 2 from Jericho to go look at Ai. Ai is but just a little town. It's just a little city. And he sent some men over there. And here's what they come back and said. They said, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few, just a little town. We ought to be able to go over there and defeat them and whip them and destroy them with just a minute amount of men to go fight this battle. But we see what happens when we look in verse 5 or verse 4. It said those 3,000 men, they fled from before Ai. And in verse 5, 36 men ends up getting killed, and the rest of them are chased away. As I've always read this passage of Scripture, I've always wondered if God would have helped them out had they asked. I've always wondered, would God have stopped them from going, or would have God have shined a light on what Achan done if they would have just asked God, what do we need to do next? Do we need to go take Ai with just these few men? And I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want to show you something tonight. It's why I believe what I believe and why I ask what I ask. Go to Joshua chapter 9, and I'll preach on this here in a minute. But I want you to understand where I'm drawing my thought from tonight. Look in Joshua chapter 9 and look in verse 14. Now they have another opportunity. Something's going on right here. And they have another opportunity to seek God and inquire of God, but they do not. And look in verse 14. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel out of the mouth of the Lord. Now when I get to that story, you're going to understand more about that verse right there. But here Israel is in another spot where they needed to ask God something, or should have sought God and inquired of God. But here in verse 14 said they didn't do that. They looked and took things for face value when they should have inquired about what God wanted. Now can I tell you tonight that me and you need to be careful about taking things at face value, especially in our Christian and our spiritual life tonight. Now I simply want to preach on asking and inquiring of the will of God. I believe tonight, if you want to know the will of God, I preached on that a lot over the years, you can know the will of God. Number one, if you lack inquiring of the will of God, chances are it's going to get you in trouble. We find right here with the nation of Israel in chapter 7. And by the way, the Bible said, if any of you lack wisdom, he said, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Hey, I believe me and you can know and can find the will of God for our life tonight. Amen. I believe you can inquire of God and He'll answer you. He's given us a book that is in front of us tonight that we can read and that He can help us understand and know and give us wisdom out of this book, and He can give us peace in the heart tonight. I remember the first church that ever called me to pastor, or that was going to call me to pastor. Let me put it like that. And I know I've told a lot of y'all this story that's sitting here tonight. And I remember that I struggled with that, and I struggled with that, and I wanted to pastor, and I wanted to go and do. And I remember my wife, I believe she just got so tired of that, that I couldn't make up my mind, Brother Jeff. I mean, I was just up and down and couldn't figure out what God wanted me to do. She said, why don't you just make a decision? She didn't say it like that. She said it like Miss Latham always says it, you know, very sweet and very kind. But that's the way I heard it in my mind was, why don't you just make a decision? And so I made a decision, Brother Marvin. And I said, all right, I'm going to take that church. I remember this very well. It's very vivid in my mind tonight. I remember standing in my workshop that I had at the time at the plant that I worked in. I was just a young man. And I remember saying, okay, I'm going to take that church. That was the most miserable, y'all know what I'm about to say, the most miserable 20 minutes of my life. Because for 20 minutes I was saying I was going to take that church. And after those 20 minutes, I figured out God didn't want me there. Had I been there, I'd have never got to come here, you see. And so I remember calling my pastor, and I know I've told y'all this. I remember calling him, and I told him, I said, well, I ain't going to take that church. He said, well, you're old enough to know and spiritual enough to know the decisions you need to make. That's about the end of the conversation. Click. Man, I wanted some help, you know. But he says, you're old enough to know what to do, brother. But when we inquire of God, we can find out His will. But when we don't inquire, it's when we get in trouble. And so right here we find, I really believe that we find right here, they go out and they check out Ai. They go, and I want you to notice what they said when they returned back. He said, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. They already had in their mind what they were going to do. They said, just give us 2,000 or 3,000 men and we'll go whip them. That's what they said. We'll go smite Ai. Nobody's never asked God anything. Nobody has inquired of the Lord. Nobody's got on their knees and asked God, hey, is this the direction that we need to go? It just seemed like the next logical step. Ai is the next town that's coming up. Ai is the next thing that's in the way. And we're headed that direction. So I assume that's what God would have us to do. You better be careful about that. Because as they got ready to go fight, if you look right here, notice what happens. Verse 1 lays it out for us. They have committed a trespass in the accursed thing. So you know what they've done? They've lost the power of God in their life. They've lost the presence of God and that with them. They have no direction of what's going to happen. And I want you to notice when they go up and that to fight, you find that they end up losing that battle. Just a little town puts those 3,000 men on the run and kills 36 men of the children of Israel. Not only had they lost the power of God, but now it's got these men killed because they have not sought God. You know how much trouble you can bring into your life and problems that you can bring into your life when you don't seek the will of God for your life? You can bring a lot of it on. I mean, because that's the way we want to go. I really believe that was the next logical step for them to do, and they were looking at it from that viewpoint. If you look at logic in your spiritual life, you're going to fail somewhere along the line. You cannot look at your spiritual life logically. You have to look at it spiritually. You have to look at it in the light of God's Word and His direction for your life. Because I'm just going to tell you tonight, there's sometimes God don't make sense to us. What do you mean? He tells Elijah,
to go tell King Ahab it ain't going to rain, and then you go down and you stay by the brook Cherith. Go down there by yourself. Don't go nowhere else. Just go down there. That ain't logical. But yet God fed him. What was it? Morning and evening, the ravens brought him meat and bread every morning and every evening. And if he would have went anywhere else, those ravens were told to go there by the brook Cherith. He drank from the brook and ate by what the ravens gave him. You know, a lot of times we get headed in our own direction and want to do our own thing. But I'm telling you tonight, when we do that, we're going to mess up. Now notice what happens right here. Joshua ends up on his face. They've lost the power of God. God ain't nowhere around. Now he's paying attention. Don't misunderstand me. But in verse 6, in verse 5, as they smote them, he said, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as what? They lost all strength and that to go do what they were supposed to do. But then Joshua rent his clothes and fell on the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening tide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. Now, I'm not trying to be hard on Joshua, but sometimes I am hard on Joshua because God had chose him and that to lead the children of Israel. I always thought he ought to have just a little more sense about him and that just to cut them boys loose like that and just go fight that battle. Maybe I'm being a little hard tonight. I'm just flesh too, and I've made my own mistakes over the years. And you know, Joshua, here he is now. He's on his face, and that before God. I'm telling you, if we'll start there, we'll be all right. But if that's where we got to get to because we've messed up, that's a bad place to be sometimes. And Joshua, now notice as he talks to God in verse 7, he really don't understand what's going on yet. Can you imagine how shocked they were? Can you imagine how that if they would have just sought God, God could have helped them. But now they're standing there in awe. They're standing there and can't understand what's going on. God said, I'm going to bring you across Jordan. They've defeated Jericho. And now they go in to fight Ai and they can't win. Can you imagine the shock that they have? I mean, God has been present in everything they've done up until here. You know, one of the things that I fear most in my life is that every time I stand behind this pulpit right here is that I forget where the power comes from. That really scares me tonight. Is that I've seen God move, I've seen God work, I've seen messages come through that there is no way that I could have conjured up and been able to do any of the stuff that happened that day or that night. God had to do it. And sometimes as preachers we get to thinking that we're really doing something. And I'm afraid that I'll forget, kind of like Samson. Boy, when I read that verse one day, God just burnt that thing into my heart. You know, he said, I'll get up and go shake myself as at other times. And the Bible said, and wist not that the Lord had departed from him. That's kind of scary, ain't it? They've been fighting battles, but now they can't win this one. And Joshua can't understand. And so he begins to talk to the Lord. And I believe that he's just not talking to the Lord. If you look over here, you'll find that a lot of stuff has got an exclamation point after it. He said, alas, O Lord, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us under the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? I mean, he's asking a question. Lord, you bring us over here to destroy us. We've got this far. We've defeated Jericho. But now have you brought us over here just to get destroyed? Would to God we've been content and dwelled on the other side Jordan. Instead of crossing over, we'd have been better off over there, Lord, if all you're going to do is bring us over here and destroy us. He's just on the verge of blaming God for what's happening. Well, if you ain't careful and you go your own way and things begin to fall apart around you, you'll be on the verge, or you will be, blaming God for what's happening. When God had nothing to do with it. If you'd have just been following him to start with, you wouldn't be in the mess that you're in. I would say that they're in a mess right here. I mean, they've got 36 funerals they got to have. That's a pretty big deal, wouldn't you imagine? There's 36 wives. There's 36 sets of families. There's 36 families that their daddy's not coming back home, all because somebody didn't inquire of God. It's a pretty big deal. I think I read over that a lot of times and miss it. Pretty big deal. Or it is to me. And Joshua, he don't know what's going on. He said, I just wish we'd have been content to dwell on the other side of Jordan over there. What was it? Gad and part of Manasseh, wasn't they going to dwell on the other side of Jordan over there with their cattle? And so in verse 8, he said, O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? Man, when they go to run away, what am I going to even say to them? He said, for the Canaanites and all inhabitants of the land shall hear of it. And they shall environ us around. Said, they're going to come up and they're going to get around us and they're just going to cut us off and they're just going to kill us. He said, what are you going to do with your name, Lord, when that happens? Like I say, I mean, Joshua is just on the verge. And you know what the Lord told him? He said, Joshua, he said, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Why are you on your face on the ground? Now, can you imagine all this going through Joshua's mind now? And maybe I'm reading it a little slower than what I should, but can you imagine Joshua's pouring his heart out because he don't know what's took place. And God's telling Joshua, get up. In verse 11, then he finds out why Israel had sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. He finds out what's happening. You know, the direction for your life, when you think everything is like it's always been. You remember they have crossed Jordan on dry ground. They have defeated Jericho with a great miracle. And now, no doubt, they think God is going to just go in and help them whip Ai and smite them and kill them. But something has changed. Don't ever assume that everything has remained the same. Always inquire of the Lord. Look at Joshua chapter 9. And you'll understand a little more why I say what I say. Joshua 9 verse 1, it came to pass when all the kings which were on this side Jordan in the hills and in the valleys and all the coasts of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite heard thereof. And they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua, what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, see, this time they'd finally defeated Ai. Most of y'all know the story of Achan. They finally got down there to Achan, found out Achan took this stuff. They ended up destroying everything that belonged to Achan. I mean, they killed Achan, his wife, his children, and burned everything. That shows you what sin will get you into, won't it? There's always a bad ending to sin. Never ends good, friend. So they gathered themselves. Notice right here, verse 4. They did work wily. Now, talking about those of Gibeon, they did work wily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet. That word clouded means patched up or mended. And old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua under the camp at Gilgal and said unto him and to all the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. Now that's a lie. Now you need to know that. Gibeon was the next city to be destroyed, you see. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure you dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? Well, what happens if you dwell around here? And you want us to make a league with you. And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye, and from whence come ye? And they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were born beyond Jordan, to Sihon king of Heshbon and to Og king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. And Israel, they come out, and man, they just destroyed them two kings right there. Them kings come out against Israel when they come out of Egypt, and man, they just destroyed them. God allowed them to be destroyed. Wherefore our elders, verse 11, and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants, therefore now make you a league with us. This is our bread that we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day that we came forth to go unto you, but now behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which were filled were new, and behold, they be rent, and these are garments, and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. Now let me park right here and say this for a minute. You understand what's happening here. This city that's next to be destroyed, they got a wily idea. They got a crazy idea, you know. Said, we'll take some old clothes, some old bread, some old wine bottles, some patched up shoes, and we'll go see Joshua and tell him that we're from far away. We want to make a league with him, that they won't destroy us because of what we've heard of them. And said, we'll show him all this stuff that we made a long journey to get here. Moldy bread, wore out clothes, wore out shoes, wore out wine bottles that we've had to patch on our journey to get here. So then in verse 14, look at what your Bible said. I read this a few minutes ago. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Now see, that verse makes a little more sense to you now. See, I really believe if they would have asked God, God would have told on them. Verse 15, and Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swore unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a league with them that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. But they've already swore they would not kill them. And you can go on down through there and read all that right there. What looked like on face value would have been a good thing to do or a smart thing to do or maybe the right thing to do, but it was not. You know, the devil, he is a liar. You know that, don't you? You know he's out to get you everyhow he can. Am I making sense to y'all tonight? Amen. All right, just making sure tonight. It seemed like that this would have been, I'll be honest with you tonight, it seemed like that this is the time, knowing what happened back at Ai. Now see, okay, I might give them Ai, but now something strange and something different is going on right here. You know, it's burn me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, shame on me. And it seems like that right here would have been the time that you say, hey, maybe I ought to talk to God about this thing. Maybe I ought to inquire about what God has to say about these folk that are standing in front of me. I think I've told you all this story. It's worth telling again. I remember that feller that we'd went to the steakhouse to eat one Saturday night. I believe it was a Saturday night, might have been Friday night. He come walking around the corner, and I know it was a setup now. And he said, how y'all doing? I said, we're doing great. What's the next thing you always say? How are you doing? Well, he commenced to tell us how he was doing. About how he was down on his luck and that he needed this and that he needed that. And I ended up giving him a $20 bill to get him some groceries. And so, and I ain't kidding you, friend. I ain't kidding you not, church. As much as I'm standing here right now, as soon as I give him that money, and he was still talking about needing a place to stay and all this, and I'm not kidding you. Friend, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, don't you give him any more money. I'm going to tell you, when the Holy Spirit makes itself real to you and bars on your heart like that, you better heed what he has to say. Just telling you tonight. You better listen when he talks. I kind of felt bad giving him that $20 after I'd done it. I could have still had that $20. I could have took my wife out to supper. Amen. I lost that $20 because I didn't stand there and talk to the Lord about it. Now think about that. Not everybody that asks you for money needs that money. Again, I'd rather miss it 9 out of 10 times and get it right that one time when somebody needed it. But when the Holy Spirit's hollering at you and telling you don't do that, you better not do it. So they didn't inquire of the Lord. They didn't ask counsel at the mouth of the Lord. You know, this is the funny thing right here. Exodus 23 said this. Joshua had to know this. Exodus 23 said, "Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee to sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee." He knew better than to make a league and a covenant with these people. He knew better than that. You know, I'm determined a lot of times we don't have to inquire of God. We already know. But sometimes it's something we want to do. Or sometimes it just seems like the logical thing to do. Or maybe it's what we think is right. The story just said that they just took of their victuals. They looked on face value and said, well, they must be telling us the truth. But they weren't being told the truth. If me and you are not careful tonight, we'll talk ourselves into some things sometimes, and we'll lie to ourselves. You ever been there? You ever done that? You ever tried to convince you or have convinced yourself of something? Talk yourself into it so that you can go do it, knowing that God really don't want you to, but you have talked yourself into it to make yourself feel better. You realize that it cost Israel those 36 men, it cost them that time of pain and agony. It cost them the shame of being run off. It cost them in chapter 9 because now they're going to have an enemy that is living close to them. Oh, they make hewers of wood and drawers of water out of them, but still here their enemy is living right that close to them. And not only that, you'll find out that all these other kings, now they're mad at Gibeon because they went and made a deal with Joshua and with Israel. And they come up and Adon is going to kill and that all the men of Gibeon. And they cry out to Joshua. Now Joshua has to go fight for them. It's just one problem right after another. If they would have just tried to listen to God and had sought God. You know it'll keep me and you out of trouble if we'll just inquire of God. Keep us out of trouble. We don't inquire of God, we get into trouble. Take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Chronicles tonight. Hope I'm making sense to y'all tonight. All I want me and you to do is just talk to the Lord when we're unsure about something. See, I think there's sometimes we know what we need to do and we just need to do it. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when something unusual or something big. And by the way, it might even be something little that we're unsure about. And if it is, then inquire of the Lord about it. But when you know what to do, go do it. You know, the book of Jeremiah said that at one point, a few members studying this on Wednesday night, they asked Jeremiah, said, go inquire of the Lord for us about what he wants us to do right here. So he goes and inquires of the Lord and comes back and tells them what God said. And they said, God didn't tell you that. They didn't like what they heard. So they said, God didn't tell you that. I think sometimes I'm like that. You inquire of the Lord and the Lord tells you something. I said, no, God didn't tell me that. I'm going to keep asking. When God answers, you know, he's pretty well done. 1 Chronicles chapter 14, look in verse 8. 1 Chronicles 14, verse 8. When the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel and all the Philistines went up to seek David. And David heard of it and went out against them. And the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God. Now, notice that right there. And David inquired of God, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? And wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto him, "Go up, for I will deliver them into thine hand." So they came up to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there. And then David said, "God hath broken in upon mine enemies by mine hand, like the breaking forth of waters." Therefore, they called the name of the place Baal-perazim. And when they had left their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they were burned with fire. Well, they really thought a lot about their gods, didn't they? If they just left them behind, didn't they? I'm just saying, I'm just reading it for what it says. It didn't help them in the battle none, did it? Amen. So they just left them alone. And then the Bible said in verse 13, notice what he done with them. He burned them with fire, set them on fire and burned them down, didn't he? Well, I'm telling you, the world's gods, we just need to burn them down with fire tonight. They don't mean nothing to us. We got a God in heaven tonight.
Right.
Verse 13. And the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. And therefore David inquired again of God. And God said unto him, "Go not up after them." Uh-oh. "Turn away from them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when thou shalt hear a sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt go out to battle. For God is gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." And David therefore did as God commanded him, and they smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon even to Gezer. And the fame of David went out through all the lands, and the Lord brought fear upon the fear of him upon all nations. Now you see the difference right here between what happens with David and what Joshua and the children of Israel done. Is when it got time to go fight, when the Philistines laid themselves out and at the fight the first time, the very first thing that David done in verse 10 was he inquired of the Lord. He said, "Lord, do I need to go fight them?" Now see, it just seemed like that David is a man of battle. David is a man that's fought a lot of battles. David is battle hardened by this time. By the time he come king, he's already battle hardened. I mean, he already knows what it means to fight battles. I mean, by the time he was a young man at 16, 17, 18, 19 years old, I mean, he has already fought so many battles in his life. It's just unreal. I mean, he fought the bear and the lion. He fought Goliath. I mean, he went out there and killed all them Philistines, you remember, to get Michael, King Saul's daughter. I mean, he went out and killed all of them. And I mean, just on and on and on. He just went and fought and fought and fought. But David never took it for granted right here. Notice said David inquired of God, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Do I need to go fight?" Just seemed like the right thing to do would be to go fight. But yet he asked God anyway. He didn't take for granted that he needed to. So God said, "Yeah." He said in verse 10, he said, "Go up, for I will deliver them into thine hand." So he did. So David went out and he smote the Philistines. And I mean, he must put a shellacking on them because they just left their gods there. But then this is the next thing in verse 13. And the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. It does not give us a time frame. Does not tell us right here. But it is sometime later. It might have been the next day, a week later, a month later, a year later. It does not tell us. But nonetheless, they done it again. And so you know what David done? Therefore, David inquired again of God. And God said unto him, "Go not up after them." Now see, David could have just went back to what he'd done the last time and he just went out. You remember the last time, he just went out and hit the Philistines head on, put them on the run and killed them and got their gods and burned them while he was at it. But this ain't what God wanted him to do this time. How would have David known that had he not inquired of God? Just because we've been somewhere before does not mean that what we've done the last time is what God wants us to do this time. So David inquires again. And God said unto him, "Go not up after them." So he had a different way to handle this thing. He said, as a matter of fact, he said, "Turn away from them." He said, don't go after them. He said, turn away from them. And then he said this, and come up on them. Come up on them over against the mulberry trees. He said, all right, David, I got a place I want you to go. Don't go down there to fight the Philistines. Just go over to the mulberry trees. And here's what you do. He said, you sit there and you wait until you hear a sound up in the top of them mulberry trees. And when you hear a sound in the top of them mulberry trees, then you know that the Lord has went out before you. Ain't that what he said? And he shall be, when thou shalt hear a sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt go out to battle, for God is gone forth. Now notice what your Bible says, before thee. See, sometimes if David had not inquired, he would have got before God, wouldn't he? You know, they're going to get to kill the Philistines. They're going to get to put them on the run. They're going to get to whip the Philistines. But he just had to wait on God, didn't he? He had to get where God wanted him. He had to wait on God. And then he had to do what God told him to do. But that's what he done. For God has gone forth before thee. You know, if we get ahead of God, man, we're going to mess it up. And David, in verse 16, David therefore did as God commanded him. He just went and followed God. He inquired, and then he done what God wanted him to. And they smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon even unto Gezer. He wouldn't have been able to do that had he not inquired of God. He would have been in front of God. He would have been ahead of God. All I want me and you to see tonight is if we don't know what to do, then we need to inquire of God. We just need to ask him. Lord, what do I need to do right here? It's a pretty big deal. I need to know what to do. I need to know how to handle this. I need to know what your answer is going to be. Lord, I need to make a decision, and then we'll go do it. David still had to fight, but because he was following God, he was assured a victory. Even though we're following God, sometimes things is hard. But as long as we're following God, we'll get the victory. It'll be there. We may have to fight hard to get there. But as long as we're following him, we'll get there. Let's inquire of the Lord tonight. I'm telling you, if you need to know something, why don't you just ask him tonight? And hey, I believe he'll let you know. Let's bow our heads this evening.